Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. If you're a regular listener to this show, you may recall the interviews with past guests who discussed the many nuances of gang stalking, such as Dr. John Hall, author of the book A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America, and Carissa Conti, who runs the site IntoWorlds.net. She's author of the book Chasing Phantoms, or Don and Carol Croft with etheric warriors.com, and Richard Bruce, who has experienced various forms of harassment and gang stalking living in Los Angeles. Richard Bruce received a lot of attention in 2013 after he uploaded a video titled Obama Clear Hand State of the Union. The video shows the president's hand becoming transparent while he's delivering the State of the Union. If you think I'm going too far out on a limb, I would suggest taking a look at the New York Times article titled United States of Paranoia. They see gangs of stalkers. The reporter actually wrote about the phenomena of gang stalking. However, he structured the article in a way that played down the possibility of actual organized efforts to stalk individuals, and then he seemed to lump them all into a category of mental illness. There was also a lack of essential information on the use of psychotronic weapons, such as voice-to-skull technology. This type of reporting speaks volumes because there isn't any acknowledgement of the space between paranoia, mental illness, and documented evidence of organized harassment or gang stalking. It's the space where you'll find a confusing mix of trolls, government agents, paid stalkers, real mental illness, and the individuals who are actually being harassed. This confusion is very likely by design, and it's the responsibility of any reporter tackling the issue to untangle it for the readers. We check back in with past guest Richard Bruce. His lifestyle appears simple enough. He lives in a camper and parks along the streets of suburban Los Angeles. However, Richard claims to be targeted by constant flyovers from helicopters for uploading certain videos to his YouTube channel. To be very clear, those videos purport to reveal humans shapeshifting into creatures with claws, snake-eye pupils, and many other types of anomalies. We've gone in depth on this topic in past shows. Let's take another look into Richard's world. Richard Bruce, welcome back to Another News.
Thank you.
Well, in our last interview that aired around Halloween of 2014, we covered a wide area of topics. I wanted to check back in with you because of the frequency of aircraft flyovers you're documenting on video almost 2 years later. It seems to have gotten more overt, but can you give listeners a summary of how events in your life have led up to this point?
Sure, Jeff. Well, what happened was in early January 2013, I had discovered the topic of shapeshifting on YouTube and didn't think much of it until I saw a channel called Frequency Fence. That was the name of her channel, the owner of it. Her name is Kristen Kunimi. And she was the first person who uploaded something rational on this subject of actually seeing what I would call reptilian or demonic forms in certain types of low light and motion. And so when I saw this, I began to become more interested, and I decided to check it out because she had a report on the movie The Matrix, which I was familiar with, and I knew that there were no clawed beasts in The Matrix script. Okay, I live here in Hollywood. So I checked it out, and lo and behold, she was right. I mean, there is the most incredible features that you can uncover in that movie, in terms of reptilian features, if you slow it down and go through it frame by frame. So I uploaded my first movie, 40-minute movie called Reptilian Matrix Message, and within 15 minutes, there were upwards of 7 helicopters hovering right over my apartment in Woodland Hills, and then from then on, I had helicopters flying low and buzzing my apartment, which is like you can hear it off in the distance, starting at a low noise, and then it gets louder and louder and louder, and then the vibration shakes the place, and then they fly by. It's like an intimidation tactic. I was completely amazed by this. I mean, I couldn't believe it was happening to me. I never had anything like that happen in my life, and it was really quite stunning that something like that would happen from movies that I uploaded to YouTube. But this happened on a regular basis, and then not only that, but unmarked black SUVs would be driving down the street in a suspicious manner. I began to notice it. Also, police vehicles and everything that you can possibly imagine. Also, I had four LAPD show up at my door, and incidentally, just want to be clear for listeners, I have no priors and no questionable affiliations or no past history of crime, and the only time I've ever had LAPD show up at my door was when I called them. Apologize, by the way, if there's any background noise here. I'm forced in this little bit of an awkward situation. Are you still with me there, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm right here, and I wanted to ask you about the LAPD showing up at your door. What did they want?
Okay, they gave the excuse that they were looking for a man that had been in my apartment 8 months previously. Okay, so that means I had been living there for at least 8 months, and that guy had moved out, and they said that he was some sort of ex probationary something or other, which I'll tell you straight out and very clearly, I knew what they were there for, and they knew that I knew what they were really there for. It was to intimidate me for my movies that I had uploaded to YouTube, weird and paranoid as that sounds, but I can tell you that all four of those LAPD officers knew it, and I kind of leaned my head out of the door and looked at them, and I said, four officers, that's kind of a lot for one guy. He must be kind of a dangerous fellow. And they kind of looked at me, and the way the guy responded, also a real telltale clue was when he said, I told him my name, and he says, "You're Richard Bruce." And I said, "Yeah." But the way he said, "You're Richard Bruce," it's like he knew who I was. I mean, it was clearly, it's one of those things where I'm witnessing to you, you know, and you don't know what my level of perception is, whether, you know, paranoid and imagining things like that. But what I can tell you for sure is that, at least from my perspective, I knew what they were there for, and they knew what they were there for. And usually the LAPD don't show up 8 months after somebody's left an address, and because they keep track of everybody, you know.
Right. You were there for 8 months, and there wasn't that type of helicopter activity prior to that.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, Los Angeles is, you know, there's always helicopters flying, all, you know, always busting somebody. There's always a lot of air traffic. But, you know, I've been living in this town for all my life. I'm 46 years old now. At the time, I was 43. I'm familiar with how much traffic there is. And one thing I can say is that, you know, I didn't descend into a level of sudden paranoia just because I uploaded a movie to YouTube. In fact, I wasn't even thinking anything could like that could possibly happen. If somebody were to tell me that and I hadn't experienced it myself, I'd be like, well, okay, buddy, you know, maybe lay off the too much cups of coffee or something in the morning. But it happened to me, and I'm telling you here now on the radio that, you know, it is a real phenomenon. And once I looked into this whole gang stalking thing and realized, I mean, there's thousands of people in the U.S. alone. It could be in the millions that get this, and there is no rational explanation you can give to any person, any rational person, that will convince them until they actually have some kind of dark experience themselves. Most of the people that are going to believe my story, Jeff, are people that they're very open-minded or they've had some kind of run-in, something that alerted them to the fact that reality isn't quite what it looks like, something like out of the movie They Live, you know, by John Carpenter. They just get that sense, and then they're able to begin to believe. Because, just to give you an example, 10 years prior to the 9/11 attacks, somebody had told me, or when that happened, shortly afterward, somebody told me that it was a false flag attack. And for 10 years, I couldn't believe it. I just didn't believe it. There's no way anybody could pull that off. But when I saw the movie on YouTube, Jeff, that the crash impact of the Pentagon does not match a 737. There's zero chance that those wings wouldn't have made corresponding holes if it had crashed the way they said it did. Furthermore, why are they hiding the footage, of the actual high-def footage, rather than that totally grainy, lame footage that they show of the crash into the Pentagon? I mean, there's a million things that don't add up. So when I was able to believe that's what broke the belief barrier for me. And that's when I realized that they can lie to you on a grand scale, and reality is nothing like what everybody thinks it is, what the majority, I would say 98% of the population, thinks it is.
Indeed. That's, you know, a primary topic on this show, and past guest Jordan Maxwell has led a number of interviews saying things are not as they seem, and here's why. Now, let's go back for a minute to your living situation in the apartment. So after the LAPD had come to your door, you realized, whoa, this is because I uploaded this video, and it's the content of the video which may have caused, you know, this response. Take us step by step from that point. What happened to you?
Okay, well, I believe that was April 16th at 6 p.m., 2013. And, you know, I was, at that point, I was realizing this. I think I'd already been buzzed for a few months at that point and seen squad cars and odd things. And so I'd already began to realize it was pretty serious. And I didn't know what was going to happen, Jeff. What really got my heart pounding was when they would do the night raids, and they would always do them precisely at 12 a.m. And not only that, but they would shoot something at the walls or shoot something at me, causing these muscle spasms that I'd never experienced before, or nothing quite like that. I've had like spasms in my calves, but I had nothing like this. And at first, I thought it was just because I was having anxiety. You know, I thought it was just because I was freaking out about, you know, this whole these planes and helicopters and so forth flying overhead, apparently as some sort of intimidation tactic. But then I finally realized that it was true. They're actually shooting some kind of a directed energy weapon, is what they're called, and it's all part of an intimidation tactic against people who they want to shut down and shut up from doing whatever it is they're doing. And I even talked to some other people that had been in the reptilian shapeshifter upload business, as it were, because you don't make any money. But they were doing it, and they told me that the gang stalking harassment that they got was so bad that they just absolutely couldn't take it anymore, and they quit. And they said that it basically ebbed off. And that's the only times I've heard of that gang stalking has stopped. Otherwise, I've heard a lot of other stories of gang stalking where they were chosen for no reason, and it never stops. It may ebb for a while, but once you're a targeted individual, it's almost like, I believe it's a non-human behavior. It's a lifelong experiment. I've been looking into abductions lately, the whole alien abduction phenomena, which is kind of a peripheral, strange thing that I never looked into, like maybe one out of a very rare few people this happens to. No, it is like so common. It's unbelievable. It's like everybody's being abducted, Jeff. Everybody. And most of the people don't even have any memory whatsoever of anything happening. The only times you hear about it, and it's a huge phenomenon now with thousands of people reporting it, but it's just because the memory erasure module didn't work perfectly on them, and so they remembered something, because they can also alter your thinking even after you've been abducted. They can turn your mind away from even thinking that anything's wrong, and you'll just go about your life. I knew people were being controlled, but now I understand it's actually a high-tech alien procedure. They are taking people. It's a breeding program, and we are now completely infiltrated.
I want to focus in on the gang stalking and harassment, because it was a focus of an article in the New York Times recently. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this article titled "The United States of Paranoia, They See Gangs of Stalkers," is the title. The reporter actually wrote about gang stalking, but he structured the article, or the editor structured the article in a way that played down the possibility of actual organized, you know, stalking, and lumped them in basically into categories of mental illness. And there wasn't much information on the psychotronic weapons, as you mentioned, the directed energy weaponry, such as voice-to-skull technology. What are your thoughts on that article coming out?
Well, it's no surprise. I mean, it's, you know, I would have thought that they would have even had a more active campaign, although you can see why they don't want to mention it too much, because the more it comes up, the more they risk exposure, the more people start to think about it. But what I've found, again, is that unless something has really negatively impacted your life to where it's like all of a sudden you have this dark feeling that you never had before in life because of something that you saw or experienced, you're not going to question it, even though you could see a statistic right there in the paper if it was possibly accurate. But no, of course, it's a disinformation campaign. People's spirits, Jeff, that's what you have to realize, are behind these things. You know, we all make a decision. That's what I realize it boils down to. It's individual choice. You know, somebody I heard was just saying that, you know, whose fault is it really that we have a government that is lying to us about the most amazing, you know, incredible need-to-know thing in the world that man could ever know? Are we alone in the universe? And the answer is, we, the people, are responsible because we don't demand it. If everybody stood up right now and demanded that the government tell us what they know about extraterrestrials, they would have to tell us, and the whole thing would be blown wide open. But, you know, it really does, when you ask the question of what is going on with this whole picture, that's what you really have to look at. It has something to do with the spirit. It has something to do with an individual choice that we're making. And as I said, my own story, I related that until something really dark had happened to me to just go, wait a minute, this is so incredibly dark that I have to find out. I have to look and see what's going on here, because I knew there was evil. I knew there was a lot of evil deep under the surface and all kinds of weird conspiracies and stuff, but I never really looked until I myself got hit in the face with that dark feeling, which I didn't mention. I was at a convention in downtown Los Angeles. I was at an anime convention, and nothing went wrong in particular. You know, I mean, I said, like I said, maybe that's because it's where the adult con was held that time, because I had been to that anime expo for 4 years before that and never had that feeling. But the feeling was so dark, and just something so dark that I couldn't figure out, and I just got back, and I said, what the heck is this? And then I started looking on YouTube, and that's when I found the 9/11 thing, and then that led to because I was looking for something. I realized was, Jeff, I knew already ahead of time that the UFO cover-up had to be non-human, because even if you get rid of the question of would humans do that to each other, would man actually keep from his fellow man the most incredible, important information that man could ever know, the other question is, could they keep it as secret as they have? And I just don't think they would have had the competence to do what they've done, which is essentially keep the most important question. You know, I heard it's something like 1 out of 25 people now have had a UFO sighting. And incidentally, just yesterday, I got some of the most incredible UFO footage you can't believe. And the whole thing was extremely weird. If you want, I'll tell you all about it, or I'll stick to the subject. But so in any case, it's not like, you know, people don't see these things, and yet still nobody does anything about it. And I have to suspect that, you know, it does have to do with a personal choice. I think it's a matter of where you're going to go spiritually. What's your decision going to be? And you're not going to wake up to the real ugly truth of what's going on if you don't say in yourself at some point, hey, wait a minute, I don't think I'm just going to go along with this whole thing and have a happy, hunky-dory life here. I'm going to look for what's wrong. I'm going to stop doing it. I'm going to stop doing the wickedness. Because, as you know, I'm a Christian, and I think it's a real underlying reality that we are going to make a choice in this life. And that's what it's really about. That's why God is letting all this happen, because you make a choice. And so if you make a choice to just go along with the wickedness, you'll never know. You'll never know that our society is ruled by non-humans, and not only that, but as David Icke puts it, and I agree, the ones at the top eat people. That's why they have to keep everybody from finding out what's happening.
I'm not sure about that. I think that could be disinformation. But I don't want to go too far out on those peripheries, because I wanted to stay in this area that you're documenting evidence of. This New York Times article, it was important because it was shaped in a way to make all the victims of this gang stalking look like they were mentally ill and imagining it, the whole thing. Even Dr. John Hall, they even tried to discredit him in this article by saying that, you know, his judgment has been challenged in a medical review. It bothers me that it was framed in this way, but it tells me also that because this New York Times article was written means that there's some type of growing awareness of this. Is it actually happening to people, or do you think that a lot of people are just lying about it and they're creating a lot of hysteria?
There are a lot of, I was thinking to say to you before we talked, is that there really are some people that are mentally unhinged, and I get them all the time. In fact, this subject, especially the whole, you know, reptilian shape-shifting thing and all that, and conspiracy stuff does draw people that are, you know, you can see that they don't have a full bag of marbles. That is true. But a lot of people, you know, there's way too many, and the statistics are just way too high. And I can tell you that, you know, competent, rational people that I know have experienced what I have are experiencing this. And like you said, a lot of people don't know where it's coming from. They don't know why they're being gang-stalked. They're just completely mystified. I think it's also part of an experiment. That's what somebody was saying, that they want to see, you know, how long they can push it, you know, what kind of, you know, they're gathering a database of what can destroy and shut up people the quickest, so that way they, you know, it's the new kind of warfare. It used to be guns, then it was nuclear bombs, and now it's going to be mental control, mental warfare. So everybody's, you know, going about their, you know, nice little peaceful society, but meanwhile you have all this covert warfare going on. You know, what I understand is that they've already, like, essentially perfected this using, in part, extraterrestrial technology from the 70s. And you can imagine what it is now. They just have it down to a science. You know, they just have a complete, what I heard from this one person who uploaded a pretty competent movie, saying that what happens is people come behind you with something that's like attached to a iPhone. They record your brain frequency, and then they, once they have it, then they can upload it into the main satellite database, and then they can project down different types of feelings. And I can actually, I don't know, I haven't gotten any rock-solid information on this as far as myself goes, but what I can tell you, Jeff, is that I believe they have used this weapon on me and more. And there's all kinds of incredible testimonies. There's a man in Japan who made this excellent, I don't have his name offhand, but it's at the Richard Bruce channel on YouTube. He makes an excellent two-hour report. And
who is it?
I don't have the name right offhand, but you can see it at my channel, at the Richard Bruce channel. It's called Massive Gang Stalking in Japan.
Okay.
That's the name of the movie. And, I mean, if you want to see an excellent report on the level of technical competence that they have now achieved and the detail of things that they can do, it really gets graphic about what they can do to people.
I look at this in another way, of course, in the most obvious way. Here you are uploading these videos. You haven't stopped. You're continuing to do it. What do you think is so detrimental from your videos, from the content of your videos to society, that would warrant this kind of reaction?
Well, if it wasn't for the fact that what I was doing was very narrowly focused, this reptilian shapeshifter analysis and video, which, by the way, I have a two-part documentary that I made with some British filmmakers. Part of it has already come out. If it wasn't for the specific topic of that, I would have to wonder, you know, gee, is it just because I'm an activist? Because I hear that sometimes they just target activists. But apparently, what I can tell you from personal experience is that this causes them a lot of anger. I mean, I can feel how mad they are. It's just by their reaction, and especially if I upload a certain kind of movie with certain types of content. They have what looks to me like, I can't say exactly or for sure, but I can say that, like, for instance, I uploaded a movie where I made kind of a spoof joke in the beginning of it, showing me sitting at my desk thinking, you know, should I upload another reptilian shapeshifter movie? And then I play some of the chopper noise growing louder and louder and louder, and then I face the camera with an open mouth going, oh my God, the choppers are coming. And then I fade into the next reptilian shapeshifter exposure movie. And I can tell you, Jeff, that really did piss them off, because they buzzed my house like never before. I mean, I was getting buzzed like it was a helicopter way station, man. I mean, I'm talking about LAPD helicopters flying over my apartment in Woodland Hills in 2013 and 2014. And also one of the most significant harassment buzzes that I got was on New Year's Day, 2014, when they buzzed my place for a good 15 minutes directly overhead, circling overhead, and I got it all on video.
And you've been documenting more and more of this. It's been quite overt in the way they fly over your camper, and you're just parked on side of the road, and they seem to line up directly over where you're at. That's very specific, and unusual to be in the path every single time a helicopter comes, you know, is flying over. I mean, that must be really odd.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, Jeff. They are smart about it. They are tactful about it. As a matter of fact, when they're concerned about exposure, they would probably be a chopper right now. You'd be able to hear it in the background if I didn't have my video camera on right now, because I'm standing outside here in Woodland Hills. They do it when you don't have the camera. In fact, they even know if I've got the camera in my back pocket, but it's not on, and they can time a buzz and get it in to harass me before I can get the camera on and rolling. Believe it on Ripley's, believe it or not. And they also wait until my hands are full or like washing the dishes or something, and they'll time it just like that. And that's how I figure it out, Jeff. And I wouldn't have believed it, because at first I didn't. There's no way I believe they could be that specific, and there's no way they can get a chopper. But that's how I figured out that they can't all be real. And I believe John Lear, who says that they have holographic technology where you absolutely cannot tell the difference between a real helicopter and a fake one. And they've been doing this for a long time. They do it to criminals. You know, like in the movie Goodfellas, they harass them, and they get emotionally unstable to the point where they can just go in for the arrest, and because you're already so freaked out by it, you're just finally like, okay, fine, just go ahead and bust me, because you're so kind of freaked out by this continual overhead harassment and other forms of harassment. So it's a tactic. It's like a boxer who stands back for a while, making small tactical jabs and loosening up his opponent, and then when he's made enough of those and weakened the opponent, then he goes in for that one quick hard jab and gets his man. And that's what I have felt that it was the case with this gang stalking. That's the general idea, to destabilize the victim and then move in for the kill, because they want to take me out. That sounds weird and paranoid, but I mean they want to get rid of me. It's not that they want me to shut up. They want to get rid of me. I mean that's the feeling. That's a definite feeling that I get from this.
Yeah, you have 28,000 subscribers to your channel. I thought, well, why doesn't Google or YouTube mess with your channel to shut you down? That's definitely a tactic that I've heard that happens
right to
some people. Why do you think you've been left alone in that area?
Okay, it's a very good question, and because I've had it a lot too. It's like, gee, I'm getting paid by the same people I'm causing a problem to. You know, I'm getting a check from Google because of the ads that run on my YouTube channel. So it's really perplexing. I'll tell you a couple of things about that. First of all, the main thing is that's kind of hard to understand is they are limited in what all they can do. There's a ultimate limit to what they can do. And I think in this particular case, for whatever reason, they can't just delete my YouTube channel and get rid of me. Or they can't just stop me from coming into Starbucks and using their internet. Because I thought, you know, after I left my apartment in April 2014, that they would, that would be pretty much it. They could shut me down. I don't have a place to upload or whatever. They could find some way to block me, you know, keep me from coming into Starbucks. Or I thought maybe they would, like, send some people in to kind of, like, you know, make a hassle for me so bad that they would kick me out or, you know, something like that. But it didn't happen. And here I am 2 years later still uploading movies.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, I wonder what type of feedback you've gotten that you think is important to share with listeners right now.
Okay, well, I would say that I'll give you a more recent situation, which is that a movie that I uploaded recently, my April gang stalking report for 2016, just went viral. And when that happened, I got contacted like never before. I had a whole bunch of people contacting me that I've never got before as far as the volume goes. I mean, I've always had people like trying to contact me and they want to share or they want to tell me about something. But I got a lot of comments, and I would say about 70% of those, Jeff, were people that were not just angry, but like screaming, you know, "You crazy crackhead, you stop uploading that crap," you know, just really, I mean, viscerally, without looking at any of my other videos to see if there's anything that corroborates it or, you know, if I come off as rational in any of my other movies, you know. And so that's kind of interesting that you get that vehemently angry reaction and, you know, and people that think that I'm crazy. And then there's a lot of people that commented at that movie, the April 2016 gang stalking report, that said, "I thought you were crazy for that first 10 minutes that you were talking, but then in 16 minutes into it, when I see those LAPD officers looking at you, looking through the Starbucks window where you're working and looking right at you, passing overhead multiple times, and you can actually see all three passengers of that LAPD helicopter looking directly at you, then I realized that you were telling the truth. Or I at least opened my mind and said, wait a minute, maybe this guy is actually, not completely nuts as we thought. So, let's see. And as far as comments go, to be honest, Jeff, I really don't get a lot of high-end, very intelligent comments. I'll be honest with you, most of the comments that I get are not very bright. There's a lot of people that are nice and supportive. There's a lot of people that are mean and nasty and stupid, and occasionally I'd say 1% actually say something interesting and enlightening. So I'm not a big fan of the YouTube comment section, but I do leave it open with the approval thing on. The reason why I leave it, a lot of people don't understand. They think I'm trying to block or edit or just don't want anybody to disagree with me. Not at all. I love people to disagree if they did so in a reasonable manner. Mm-hmm. The problem is so very, very rare few people actually make a good, intelligent criticism that I can then engage them with in a civilized manner. So if I don't do that, if I don't block those negative comments, the main thing and the main reason I started doing that was because I noticed it was a tactic. They send somebody to make a negative comment. If I allow it in, a bunch of these people will come in and thumbs up it, like 60 thumbs up, all of a sudden, boom! And then that will be the first comment that people read. So people that are on the fence, Jeff, people that, could this possibly be, they read that, oh yeah, this guy's, we know he's a liar and blah, 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 some negative comment. It will sway them towards not being able to comprehend the subject, which, as you know, it's very hard to get people to realize it's true. In this type of situation, you're fighting a way uphill battle. I mean, we're talking you're fighting for your 0.3% of the population that can begin to grasp that you've got non-humans living among it.
Mm-hmm. So you look at this New York Times article, and then you look at the fact that, well, they leave your channel alone, but it is open to trolls and these probably paid agents getting the fence sitters, I think. Maybe that's why they leave your channel alone.
Yeah, I also think it's because, it's something that I heard on the Chris LaStala channel. I heard this demon say that your king is making us do it. I think that the kind of control that God has, frankly, is that he can make them leave it open. I get the feeling, Jeff, that they knew I was an enemy long before I uploaded a single thing or knew anything about this, because it's just a feeling that I have. It's like it's not just when I uploaded something and then all of a sudden this happened. It feels like they saw me coming a long way off. I think a lot of people became aware of me because of the fact that, in my opinion, the empire is run by these reptilians, and they don't want people finding out. It's not just reptilians. It's the biblical Luke 10:19. I'll give you to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So that we know that all the power of the enemy is what? Serpents and scorpions, which are the reptilian aliens and the mantis aliens, according to Richard Bruce.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Good to put that clarification in there. We haven't talked in nearly 2 years. I guess it's like a year and 8 months or something. And has anything changed in your life since the past interview that we did?
Yes. I made a very important discovery, and this was really important. It's complex, but it's very, very important. A lot of people that went the direction that I went, they started looking for something. They don't know what. There's something evil. There's something going on. They come across what? The reptilian shapeshifter subject. So we got lots and lots of people beginning to discover this now, because it's an interesting way to see non-human features that anybody can access. Now, the problem is, and this is what changed for me, is that I had done a test on myself, because I do know something about video. I do know something about digital imagery and all the problems that can occur, compression, different types of refresh rate errors, all kinds of things like that, right? So we want to eliminate all those from the cadre of things that people point out as, oh my God, it's reptilian shape-shifting. And there is the real stuff, but then there's a lot of things that people are pointing to that are not real. So what I found, Jeff, was that at the time when I started doing this, when I did that initial analysis, I did not discover shape-shifting on myself. So I said, oh, okay, good. At least I know I'm not a reptilian shape-shifter, right? Because I'm pretty observant. I probably would have noticed it. But what happened was, in the last time since I've talked with you, I did a different kind of analysis, wherein using a 60 frames per second 1920 by 1080, and using low light and distance from the camera, I did a test on myself going frame by frame instead of scrubbing through slowly.
Uh-huh.
And when I did that frame by frame analysis, whoa, that was really the biggest shock of my life. I showed reptilian scales, fangs, and I'm talking fangs, Jeff, discoloration, the tiles that look like the alligator tiles, because you can see the dot in the middle. You know how alligators have a tile and there's like a little black dot in the center?
Right.
I got those features, and then I got what I call demonic smearing, which when I move my head really quickly, you get these various forms that come out. One looked like a female lion, and another one looked like a reptilian, and another one looked like, I don't know what it is, but really these weird, ugly forms that just do not make sense. I will challenge anybody to make a mannequin of me or anyone get the same thing on the mannequin. It's what I call demonic smearing. And what I discovered from the Rick LaSala channel, I'm sorry, Chris LaSala, was that we all have these demonic forms in us. And what's happening is, this is really important, this is the key point, Jeff, that these forms can appear to be physical forms on people when you do the video analysis, but in fact, the person is not a physical shapeshifter. That doesn't mean that there aren't physical shapeshifters, because Christian preacher Bill Schoenblum, who was a ex-Satanist at one point in his life, intentionally invited a creature into him, and his wife had recently sewn him a robe of some kind, and what happened was, when he invited the entity into him, his witness is that his body length enlarged to the point where the new thing that his wife made for him ripped right off of him like the Incredible Hulk. You can see that testimony in his werewolf, Bill Schoenblum, on YouTube. It's quite amazing. So that's just one example, but I believe the David Icke witness and all the many people that he's that have come forward and actually seen these things shapeshift. In fact, I just talked to somebody yesterday who says that they had seen it firsthand.
Oh,
and they
really?
Even have a photo. Yeah, and they even have a photo of it. So I think that there's two. It's very confusing. So I'm not going to convince anybody with this one conversation, Jeff. But that's what's really important to understand, is that you can see reptilian features on people. It doesn't mean that they are reptiles or other beast forms that you might see, like insectoids or feline forms. But I believe, at the same time, that these beasts in their physical form are living among us and do shapeshift from human to their beast form. And this is really one of the main reasons for the whole secrecy of why the rest of them are keeping a lid on extraterrestrials, because they know that with extraterrestrial contact, man, with that technology and with that contact, would become aware of the fact that there are these non-humans living among us who've been here forever. They've been here since the very beginning. But the fact is that they need secrecy in order to live, especially the reptilians, who I believe are at the top of the stack, because, as the Bible says, you will be more cursed above any beast of the field, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And who was made out of dust? Adam. That's how I figured it out. Somebody sent me an email telling me that.
At the end of the movie They Live, and I think there are other movies like that too, that show their camouflage is removed, for whatever reason it is, and they're revealed among us. And it's just like anything else, any other entity. But I think people would be very upset to know that these entities have been lurking around humans, pretending to be human, and so they're all in on the scam. And plus, they can see each other,
right?
As well, some people like Andrew Hannessy say that they are the reptilian overlords that have a human disguise, but they're all telepathic and they recognize each other in a room among the other humans, who they call apes.
Right, I think so, yeah. I agree.
Okay. Have you experienced anything like that? Were you able to detect anything like that that maybe supports some of the work that you're doing in research?
No, not that I was able to tell for sure. I'll say one thing. I was just thinking that I might tell you this, but it's pretty intangible. But there was shortly after I started my activities at the at uploading at my Woodland Hills apartment, there was an AT&T facility right next to me, and they were building this thing there. And I was walking out to my car while this one guy was working on it, and he was this big guy, too, like a big, muscly guy. You know, it's normally looking, and he had sunglasses on. But the way he looked at me, it was almost like I just got this total sense that he was one of them, and that he knew that I was the enemy, that they were there building this thing to monitor the lines for me. I don't know. That's just a thought that I had. But as far as actually seeing anything tangible, I haven't yet. I can see. I've got the video, though, of what I believe is mostly what I've caught is demonic distortion. That's what I've mostly seen on people.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've spoken with people who have seen the eye shift in others, and into like a snake eye, from a round pupil to a snake eye.
People see this stuff, you know. Unless you're somebody, see, I think people can do like minor stuff like that, or tell somebody about something, and it's not gonna be a problem. It's if you're going public, that's when you're gonna have an issue. You may have I talked to somebody. I think you may have seen it on my channel, Vampire to Musician. A musician had a one-on-one with a reptilian who basically told him, look, you're not one of us. You're never going to make it in the movie industry. And, by the way, you know, that guy you're going to have a fight with, you better not, because he'll squash you like a grape because he's not a human being. You know, so this stuff, I think, especially here in you know, Los Angeles, Hollywood, place of dragons. I call it the place of dragons because I saw that out of the Bible. You have sore brokenness in the place of dragons. You're going to run into non-humans all the time, felines, canines. I talked to I don't know if I told you this or not, but a werewolf guy contacted me. Mm-hmm. And I could tell from after emailing him back and forth, because I'm pretty good at, you know, especially writing, you can really see, you know, whether they're confident, whether they got all their marbles together, or whether they're some, you know, BS liar or not. And this guy was the real deal. And he said that he was given permission by his higher order to tell one person about his story. And he told me the whole thing. It's quite amazing. You got these dog aliens out there, Jeff. Or I'd say wolf. That's kind of more respectful. Wolf aliens. and he was smarter than the reptilian that contacted me. I had one hybrid reptilian and one full reptilian, according to them, contact me. But again, you know, it's intangible. I don't have any proof for it. But like I said, I could tell if they were on the level. And there's a lot of crazy people who want to be, you know, they want to be a reptilian, or they want to be some kind of beast, you know. But they're just wannabes. I can screen them out pretty quick.
There's all types, right? There are people who want to be gang stalk because it makes them feel important. There are people who want these qualities such as telepathy and shape shifting abilities and enhanced strength and talent. It is sort of a mind control on human beings to affect humans in a way to make them feel inferior.
Yeah, and make them idolize. You know, I mean, that's what the whole vampire thing. It's like a cult. Everybody wants to be a vampire because they're so cool. They're so cool, protected in movies. But what they don't know is it's based on the fact that reptilians need what's in human blood, according to David Icke and Arizona Wilder. They need there's some chemical in the blood that they absolutely have to have, or they go nuts and they can't maintain their reptilian form and they basically die. So they have to drink human blood. That's according to Arizona Wilder and David Icke. I don't have any knowledge about that, but what David Icke says is that it's called vril in the blood, that vril something. And at the same time, even though they need that, it also gives them special heightened powers. I just read the most fantastic a reptilian shape-shifting account in Barbara Lamb's new book. I don't know if you know Barbara Lamb. She's in the abduction phenomena community, and she's a doctor, and she did a recent book studying 8 hybrids, and one of them says, a female, says that she was a half human, half reptilian, and what happened was on 2 different occasions she shape-shifted, and on one occasion she shape-shifted into her reptilian form in this underground lab where they had abducted her, and she was standing there, this giant dark green lizard man with claws and everything, and she suddenly felt that she had all of these mental abilities because they were hitting her with these electronic weapons, and she said she imagined a shield around her and blocked all those weapons and then pushed the energy shield out into the where the weapons were coming out and blew out their circuits, and she laughed as she watched all these humans scrambling around trying to figure out what was wrong with their electronic devices. So it was really quite interesting. And she said that she could read she could see the people behind the one-way mirror glass, and she could see a man sitting there, and that was wondering why he was having problems with his bladder, and he's like drinking 12 cups of coffee a day.
That'll
tell
it.
All this, yeah, she could tell all this stuff just by looking at him in her reptilian form, but when she switched back to human form, she says she felt weaker, all those powers left her, and so forth. So you're absolutely right. I mean, I think these beasts do have all these advanced powers that make us look like insects.
Right, but do you think also, Richard, that we have not the same powers, but we have abilities as human beings that because we've been maybe propagandized so much, we're not in touch with those abilities?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. And I think that's part of what a lot of, one of the main rumors that goes around, David Icke, about it, all kinds of people have said it, is that we're being suppressed by these, by the reptilians and others, part of the cabal, the insectoids, the greys, you know, the whole alien cabal that's against us. They don't want us to open our third eye. In fact, one gentleman that recently contacted me, who was a GameStop to the point where he even has a degree and everything, like some sort of advanced degree, and but he got to the point where he was homeless because they just ruined everything in his life, and then he's just like living in his car now. And he was telling me that the only reason the gang stalking thing happened to him was because he started meditating and he started opening up his chakras and like his third eye and stuff, and then when he learned how to astral project, and then all of a sudden he got attacked by all this incredible stuff. Similar stuff to me, but it's different in a lot of cases. He got attacked with all kinds of weird stuff that I don't remember exactly what it said, like directed energy weapons. I don't get too much of that. Like I said, I get it sometimes when the airplanes fly over or they do a midnight raid on me, but some people report all kinds of weird stuff, voices in their head. I never got any of that. Some people report people following them around or standing on the street or walking out of their house at the same time. I never got any of that. I don't really get too much on a face-to-face level. The stalking that I get, I think, is either a long-distance directed energy weapons from satellite. But for the most part, the psychological warfare of the helicopter harassment.
Yeah, you do.
And these, I'm sorry?
I was going to say, you do a great job documenting helicopters and the planes. And what was
it? Yeah, I've gotten more skilled at it. I've gotten better because I just do it so much. I got this little Panasonic. Somebody bought me a nice friend who liked my channel. She took and bought me a video camera, and I'm holding it in my hand right now.
That's a very nice thing to do, and high leverage, too, because of all the documentation and possibly the people that you've helped by documenting your situation. And maybe it's helped others who maybe have had family or friends that didn't believe that that was happening or actually happening to a person, and now they think twice.
Well, I hope so, Jeff, because, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, my life changed when this happened to me, you know. It's like I time traveled into like the time of the Terminator, you know, when she like goes back in time, like in the future it's all like all nasty and, you know, you just have to run around in these dirty clothes and it's all, you know, like this total living like a rat situation. Whereas before, you know, it was a nice beautiful lawns and pristine, beautiful society and everybody has peace and plenty and everything. It's kinda like that. The character of my life changed. I used to just, you know, hang out and enjoy my, you know, I like to draw, I like to watch my cartoons, I like to watch TV and, you know, just go downtown for coffee and a walk or a swim at the beach or something, you know, and just relax. And now it's like, I got to have my video camera with me 24/7, ready for the next whatever crap's going to come against me, you know, it's like a warlike condition. But I've gotten used to it, and the feeling I have is that, you know, life is going to be a battle anyway. It shouldn't be easy. And some positive things have actually come out of it for me. I didn't have a ministry before. I didn't have a voice before all this happened to me. I mean, I wouldn't have started a YouTube that now has 28,000 subscribers, as you noticed, if all this hadn't happened to me. So that means when I upload a video, instantly 2,000 people see it. So that's pretty good. Anything that you upload, anything that you make, anything that you say, all of a sudden 2,000 people see it. It's pretty good.
Definitely. Yes, you've got quite a following, and I thought that would be a big problem for the people who don't want you to distribute this content out across the world, really. I wonder about other people. You mentioned Japan. Are there people in Europe who are experiencing this type of harassment that have contacted you?
Oh, yeah. What's really great is Skype now, because I've already talked with several people in the United Kingdom and in Germany. What's amazing is there's, Germany really makes a great contribution to this world. I've already had, I think about four people from Germany now give me detailed accounts of what's happened. And they are, first of all, their English is a lot better than my German, I can tell you that. But they really do a good job of, making a scientific, documentation of it and explaining interesting things that I'd never heard before. I had heard that your TV can watch you, but I didn't believe it until this one German guy contacted me and said that he was able to hear a high-pitched whine from his TV even when it was off. And then when he unplugged it, he figured out, then it stopped, and he figured out that there's something coming out of the TV even when it's plugged in, but it's off. I noticed that I would start getting a buzz when I started working on a reptilian shapeshifter movie, and I realized they were watching me right out of my TV, Jeff. My TV was facing my computer station, and what I figured out was I put one of those electrical stopper switches on my table so that when I turn on the TV, I just turn that on, and then when I turn it off, I turn that off so that the power is disconnected from the TV, and that buzzing every time I started working on a reptilian shapeshifter movie stopped. Pretty interesting. And there's a lot of people that said, this one guy from Germany that I recently Skyped with, it's just amazing how what a nice guy he is and how I really like him, and he's a really intelligent person, and I really appreciate his detailed and heartfelt story and that he gave me and a lot of information about what happened to him, and he still doesn't even know why he was chosen. He was one of those people like the Japanese guy that you'll see if you go to my site, Major Gang Stalking in Japan. Have no idea why.
Okay, so those two didn't know why. Do you have a short list of some of the reasons why? Now, we're looking at two that we know right now, and that is reaching your higher self, opening the third eye, getting in touch with the higher spiritual planes, and maybe right. aligning your chakras, and of course exposing entities masquerading as humans walking among us. What other reasons do you think?
A lawyer from Manhattan Beach, just recently I just got through talking with him, and he said that what happened to him was that he was, this was 4 years ago, and he started being part of an activist group. And I think what they were protesting was the continued harassment and confiscation of marijuana dispensary supplies. And nothing had happened to him before that, but as soon as he joined this protest group, I guess, some sort of advocacy or, protest group, he became a targeted individual, and haven't left him alone since.
Hmm. There's a book titled Phantoms of the Brain that goes into describing how the eye color can change when a person with schizophrenia changes personality. Also, if one personality can have a terminal illness and then switch to the other personality and that terminal illness is gone. And it made me think about the aspect here of possession, because maybe when a person is possessed by some entity, there will be physiological changes that occur.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was commenting that with Bill Schoenblum, who, like I said, his whole body grew to this massive size and ripped out of these new robes that his wife wore for him. I think that, people talk about, I don't know if you've heard of Susan Reed, but I recently read her book. I had seen some of the articles occasionally on YouTube. But reading the book really does give you the full information. It is a fact. If you want to know more about the whole reptilian war, because what she describes is actually the epitome of the gang stalking phenomena that does appear to be reptilian. She says it was reptilians that were gang stalking her, and they eventually killed her. They found her dead, face up in the river somewhere. But before that, she described these very amazing, the distance electronic weapons that were used to make her have hot flashes and cause like these panic attacks, and then the reptilian that was attached to this guy spoke through him and told her all this stuff, and she'd even been dating the guy who essentially had was like, she described him as a dual part personality. It was like this guy, but then the reptilian was like attached to him, and so it was like a merging of their beings, according to her. It's really confusing, but that's what she described. It's just like a merging of these two beings, but she was essentially taken over by the reptilian. The human was needed to perform the functions of the human body, but the reptilian essentially ruled and controlled him through spiritual possession. So it wouldn't be any surprise to me if you had a situation where there was a full occupation, and then with that would come physical changes. Like you would start to see somebody get, you know, like you see these really big bodybuilders, you know, you wonder if somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, maybe has a more strong reptilian demonic presence. Again, the demon thing on top of the shape-shifting and or possession thing is kind of complicated, but to get more information on demonology, I would suggest watching Chris LaSala channel, watch his first 5 movies, and you will really be blown away by this education, because we all have these demonic spirits living in us, everybody. He says, I haven't seen a man yet that he didn't see some demonic behaviors. And I can attest absolutely perfectly with empirical data that they are, they all pack into the body, filling in thousands of them in the same space. And you have little ones, you have tiny ones, and you have big ones that are like, the head is like 20 times bigger than the person's actual head, like some huge monster standing behind the person, and yet somehow they're all in that person. It's really weird.
It's really weird. It reminds me of the Scientology theories. We're born with all these entities inside of us. That's what the Scientologists are, you know, talk about.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the whole Scientology theory.
There are some parallels right there, Richard.
I've seen the demons for myself. I got them on camera. You can see them at my channel.
Richard, I want to ask you, what now? Where do you go now from your current situation?
Oh, good question. I actually do not have any particular big idea about it. Basically, the way I've been for these last 3.5 years that I've been doing this is just keep going, you know, keep doing what I've been doing. I don't know if I'm going to be doing as many shape-shifting movies. I'm kind of like, you know, maybe I'm getting a little bit burned out on it. So I might be doing more stuff like looking into the abductions or working on my Christian ministry, you know, doing more work like that. But I still want to keep up the exposure, because that's really what people have, I think that's the main thing that people have been coming to my channel to see. And it reinforces the fact that even if they are just the demonic spirits that we all have that somehow show up as physical features in the video, it makes people aware of the fact that there is evil around us that we need to be aware of. And it's not human. It's something that's other than human. Because people, you know, by and large, mostly, you know, even myself, who believed in non-humans, like I said, until I was confronted with something dark, something unpleasant enough to make me go, oh, God, what the heck is going on here? We don't really want to think about it. It's just too unpleasant, you know. I mean, we love to go to vampire movies and be scared. We pay good money for horror movies, Jeff, but when it comes to something like that being real in your life, you'd be surprised how much you don't want to hear it. It really is true.
Richard Bruce, I want to thank you for being on the show, and it's interesting to check back in with you. Nearly 2 years now, you know, we'll check back again, definitely. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Sure, Jeff. We can continue on, and I'll let you know what's going on.
All right. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archived shows.